Congratulations. What a this is officially, I guess, your second album, but it's pretty awesome stuff. How did you decide to, I mean, it's kind of diverse. How did you decide to put all these things together?
Well, the nexus of the programming was my Vestiges, the four pieces for piano that I wrote in 2012. And, you know, it started from there. And these Vestiges were based off of dream images. And I, a collection of dream images that all kind of came to me in one night, really, in September of 2011. And I kind of, I like to say that those dream images were probably rooted in my just going to college for the first time in the fall of 2011. In any case, they inspired these four pieces. And I was very interested in structuring an album around these pieces, around these dream images, because I've always been very interested in exploring like the little murkier things that happen between set points. So I like to say, you know, it's like getting from point A to point B is just like barely 10%. The really interesting stuff happens in between. And so I wanted to see what I could do with an album that was deliberately structured around that idea. And so it started with these Vestiges, and then from there, I really did want to play a piece of Meredith Monk's because Meredith Monk has been a huge inspiration for me for many, many years. And so I found this beautiful piece of hers to really kind of usher the listener into the album's sound world that sort of operates on similar principles. And then the Rachmaninoff preludes came in and Gaspard, and it just started coming together in this really cohesive but also, I think, happily multifaceted way.
I think folks will enjoy seeing that Monk video, actually, and being able to experience it in that audiovisual world. Is that something that's important to you?
I think it's important to me also just because I grew up with that sensibility. I grew up with the internet, so I've been kind of surrounded by audiovisual understandings of things for a very, very, very long time. And I grew up also in the age of, I guess if you want to call it, the golden age of MTV as well. So it's quite important to me because I think that you can really create an experience in a total, like, kind of holistic context for the listener by using like audiovisual technology, if you will.
Is there a different way that you approach something like the Rachmaninoff and the Ravel as opposed to Meredith Monk?
I mean, you have to approach them differently. In you have to approach them also on the level of, you know, what the composer was intending. The contexts are different for the different pieces. That being said, I also do like the ability of this recording format to create connections that are generally a little bit less perceptible between various pieces. But I'm not someone who necessarily takes a piece like Rachmaninoff and tries to play it like John Adams or Philip Glass or Ligeti or something like that. You know, I don't try to modify my approach in that way. I think it's really interesting to take it more from how can I be true to what I think the composer is intending, but also perhaps articulate something that links Monk and Rachmaninoff. And that isn't necessarily my explicit intent, but I think that that's what the album format can do, what the playlist can do. I mean, in a way that my album is, I think of albums in many ways as mixtapes, as these ways of creating those connections.
I will sometimes think of them maybe as a menu too, that, you know, you aren't just going to eat, you know, prime rib and then filet mignon and then a hamburger, you know, that you kind of
right. How does this taste? Yeah. How does this taste profile like relate to the next one? Yeah. I mean, it's also about creating a total experience. I mean, I grew up in a very digital age. I grew up when CD players could already be programmed, but I really, really am pretty romantic about LPs and sequencing as like an art form. And I love playlist culture, but only primarily because I think playlist culture allows people to sequence their own LPs in a way. So if you, for example, find an LP really unsatisfying because it's just front-loaded with singles and then a lot of filler later on, you can create something much more cohesive and whole. And I think that that's an interesting experience. And that was a lot of fun. This time I could be the recording artist. I could make those decisions. And that was a really good time.
When you're working on something like Vestiges, composition-wise, is it something that you're at the keyboard? Is it something that you just want to get in Sibelius or Finale? Or tell us a little bit about your compositional process.
My compositional process employs both improvisation at the piano and just kind of straight putting stuff to paper and then onto the computer. I do all of the above and sometimes kind of all at the same time. I love working at the piano. I used to never work at the piano. I used to think that that was going to be very limiting, but at the same time, I find that writing for the piano, obviously working at the piano is wonderful. And I'm lucky enough to have quite a bit of comfort improvising at the piano. And so I love just kind of hearing colors and experimenting with colors and finding unexpected colors, whether it's through like overtones or, you know, listening to the harmonics of various strings. That's all really, really interesting to me.
I often, you know, we're wondering, you know, do composers sing in the shower? You know, do they like Brahms and take long walks? You know,
we can't rule that out. I mean, I will sing melodies in the shower, but whether or not they're used later, whether or not they sound good out of the shower is a totally different conversation.
Sure. Well, I thought Iridescence is interesting, and I was curious. Using the iPad, we know that people have used it for scores, and obviously there are lots of different sound apps. Tell us a little bit about the creation of this.
Iridescence is written for piano and an app on the iPad called the Reactable Mobile. And the Reactable Mobile is a very tangible interface for doing various electronic things. And what I have going on the iPad is both synth lines that I've programmed, sequences that I've programmed that I trigger, they're fed into an oscillator. Then there's also live processing of the piano sound through just through the iPad's inbuilt built-in microphone. And what I really like about that is that it's, while it's, I guess, high tech in some way, it's also quite lo-fi in another respect. Because I'm not using pro microphones to process sound, which is usually what we do for live processing, is you filter through a laptop with like through an interface and stuff like that. And I do that too, but I liked the idea of working with an iPad because it seemed like it became possible to do something that was simultaneously, very different from anything I had done, but also kind of accessible to a larger group of people, not only on a listening level, because I don't necessarily think about that on, but from a performer perspective. If I made my reactable, they call it a table, you know, with all the various elements I have set up, if I make that available online and then I also share a PDF of the score, theoretically anyone could perform the piece. And there's something about that I find very appealing. It's a very romantic conception, and I think that there are lots of further conversations that need to be had about this, but there's something really, really intoxicating about the possibility of sharing things, not just from creator to listener, as it tends to usually be, but from the composer to performer or performer to performer in a way. And also theoretically, people could improve on the piece because people could add elements to the electronic part very easily. So there were a lot of things that came together in interesting ways for this piece.
Could you see someone doing maybe a remix with it? You know, that sort of thing?
Yeah,
you know?
I love remix culture. I think that remix culture is a fascinating development in the last like 25 years or so.
It's so wonderful to speak with you, Conrad, and I know this comes out on the 11th when also the Unplay Festival happens, and this looks juicy. It looks really, really creative and cool, and I'm curious, how did you bring these forces together, and tell us a little bit about playing Leaves.
Oh, fun. the Unplay Festival came together. I received an Avery Fisher Career Grant in 2012, and I was also a 2012 Gilmer Young Artist. And I was thinking about what to do in the wake of that. And, you know, the standard things that one could do seemed a little bit dull, and I wanted to try something that would jolt me as an artistic individual into action in a very, very tangible and kind of brutal way. So I decided, you know, I wanted to do something that allowed me to create my own concert spaces, my own contexts. And as someone who loves live performance and for whom live performance is this very liberating thing, creating a live festival seemed like a great opportunity to put some of my ideas about what classical music could be or what programming should be into practice. And so Leaves is another piece of mine, also for electronics and group. I've written several versions of the piece for different ensembles. This ensemble is for clarinet, piano, guitar, drums, cello, and electronics, I believe. And I think I'm probably missing someone. Oh, and bass. There we go, bass, double bass. And it's, you know, it's similar. It's a little bit different. This involves live processing through a digital delay. The cello sound gets manipulated live, and I'm also using an iPad, but this time my iPad is like a wireless remote controlling my laptop from wherever the laptop's going to be in the venue. So it's a good time. But the most exciting thing about the festival for me is having the opportunity to create an experience very, very kind of, I guess, holistically in a way, in a way that I can't do traditionally in my role as a performer. And that's, it's very exciting. It's a little bit scary when you realize how much responsibility that, it feels like a lot of responsibility, but, you know, nothing is ever, like, easy, I guess. and that's fine. And I love that. And I love challenges. And I relish that. I'm a bit of a junkie for, you know, tough things like that. So I'm very, very excited. And I'm working with a wonderful group of artists, some of whom have been doing experimental things for decades now, and some of whom are really making their mark now in this decade.